Thank you so very much for being here this morning. Open your Bible, please, to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. In our verse-by-verse preaching through the Gospel of Matthew, we have come to the section dealing with the arrest and mock trial and conviction and crucifixion of our Lord. And in preparation for this morning's message, as I came to verses 45 and 46 again, the Lord just spoke to my heart in my study and said, stop right there. As soon as I read them, stop right there. And He impressed upon me that there must be someone here this morning that needs what we're about to study, that needs what we're going to learn this morning. So, instead of moving into the arrest, instead of moving into the trial, instead of moving into the conviction of our Lord and His crucifixion, we will look one more time at this passage. And if God is speaking to you this morning, it's because of this word that He gives us. And we will be grateful this morning because the result is not only will God speak to us, but the message will be short. Jesus and the disciples have concluded the Passover meal. Judas has left to betray the Lord Jesus to the chief priests and elders. Christ has instituted the Lord's Supper, and the remaining 11 plus the Lord Jesus go down to the Mount of Olives. While there, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John and says, come with me. And He parks them yonder and says, I want you to watch and pray while I go over here and pray alone. Watch and pray, Peter, James, and John, while I go over yonder and pray to the Father. While He was all by Himself praying, the trio falls asleep. And three times the Lord returns to find them not praying, not watching, but sleeping. And the lesson for us that we talked about last week is ever the same this morning. The lesson is that we must find a place and find a time where we pray and we listen to the voice of God every day. We must find a place in the morning, maybe at noon during our lunch break at work, maybe before you go to bed at night. Find a point in the day and assign to it your daily prayer and Bible reading. Do it every day. We must find a place and a time to do it. And schedule it. Make the flesh do it. And when we do, we will find victory. And we will find spiritual strength and growth as the result. Now that brings us to verse 45 of Matthew 26. Then cometh He to His disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now. Take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Notice there's nothing accidental in the Bible, not even in the arrangement of terms. Jesus uses a phrase which speaks of His humanity, the Son of Man. God the Son cannot be tried and convicted and crucified. God the Son cannot be arrested. God the Son cannot be killed. The Son of Man, the body will be arrested. The body will be tried and convicted. The body will be tortured and to the point of death. And then the body of Jesus will be crucified. When the Lord God who lived in that body in the person of His Son said, it is finished, he will allow his body to die. Sleep on now. Take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is, present tense, betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Verse 47 begins by saying, and while he yet spake, apparently he was just in the midst of saying these things when Judas and the crowd arrived to arrest him. And friend, from this moment forward, Jesus was focused directly on the cross, and he will be at perfect ease. Why? Jesus will be, from this moment forward, instead of asking God to take away the cup that was before him, as he was doing three times in Gethsemane just before, from this moment forward, he will be in perfect comfort. He will be at perfect ease because he knew he was right in the center of the will of God the Father, that God the Father was in control, and that he would accomplish all that the Father had sent him to do. And for us, there's a great lesson here. If you're a child of God and you're walking under the control of the Holy Spirit, you can relax. You do not have to worry. You do not have to fret. You do not have to stew. You do not have to live in panic palace. Why? Because you know that God's in control and that he has everything worked out for your good and his glory. And friend, that means that no matter how bad things may appear now, no matter how desperate your circumstances are now, no matter how great your trials, no matter how terrible your temptations, no matter how deep your sorrow, if you're following him, God is going to see to it that you come out of that thing more like Jesus than when you came into it. Our problem is that while we say we believe that, in most instances, our actions demonstrate that we really do not. We worry. We get depressed. We fret and stew and we wring our hands. We try to take control of the situation ourselves apart from God, and that just makes it worse. We seek out advice from ungodly sources. Friend, we do everything except what we should be doing, which is to give the Lord the burden and leave it there. We used to sing a song, leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Give your burden to the Lord and leave it there. But we don't do that. And when our problems come crashing down around us, when everything collapses all around us and we're standing in the midst of the ash heaps of our own creation, we raise our puny fists in God's direction and blame him for letting us down, when the truth is, we let him down. We insult him by saying, dear Lord, God in heaven, why did you let this happen to me? Instead of saying, Father, I know you've got it all under control. What are you trying to teach me? What am I supposed to learn in this? Help me to trust you and teach me what I'm supposed to learn. Jesus has prayed it through. He's prayed through his sorrow and what lies ahead. And he learns from that experience to trust God more than ever. And he leaves that point in Gethsemane ready to face everything without fear. Sweet people, God loves us. God knows all of our problems. And before he created one thing, before he made the most minute molecule on the subatomic level, the most teensy tiniest thing in all the universe, before he created even one thing, he made provision for you as his child to make it through your problems in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will carry you through if we'll just trust him and lay our burdens at his feet. Leave them there and follow him. You say, okay, Pastor, how do I do that? How do I lay my burdens at the feet of the Lord? I have so many. How do I do that? Number one, you must be saved. You must be a child of God. You must know Jesus as your Savior personally. Second, you must have confessed and repented of all known sins. Now, if you don't know a sin, you can't confess it, and that's why you say, Lord, if I've committed any other sins, reveal them to me, so I may confess them also. But confess all known sins and say, Lord, I did this and thought, word, or deed, and I agree with you it's wrong, and I turn from it, and I turn to who Jesus is, and I ask you to wash me and cleanse me and fill me. Be saved. Confess and repent of all known sins. Ask God to cleanse you and fill you with the Spirit of the Lord. And number three, practice the biblical principle of walking with Jesus. Walking with Jesus. In other words, allow Christ himself to become as real to you as the person who is seated next to you. And talk to him. Listen to him. Be constantly aware of his presence in your heart. All right, Pastor, I want to do that. How do I do that? How do I practice the presence of Jesus? How do I become keenly aware of his presence in my heart and in my life? Well, it starts with reading the living Word of God. Read it every day. Colossians 3:16 says we're to choose to allow the Word of Christ to dwell in us. That means to settle down and make itself at home in us richly. Richly. Don't be on a starvation diet when it comes to the food of the Word of God. Partake of it. Read it. Take it in daily. Secondly, to allow the Lord to be very real in my life, to practice the presence of Jesus, I must read his word. And number two, I must pray every day. Not just, Lord, thank you for this food, amen. Not just, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep, amen. But talk to him and listen to him. Listen to him. Find a place where you can shut out all the noise of the world and listen to him. Read the word. Pray. And then constantly practice the presence of Jesus. In other words, continually remind yourself that he's not only right there with you, but he is in you all the time. And lastly, if we're going to practice the presence of Jesus, we must read the word. We must pray every day. Remind ourselves over and over again that Jesus is there. And as we do that, number four, we yield ourselves, we yield our will to his will. And he'll guide us. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we read here that Jesus yielded his will to the will of God the Father, and that is exactly what we must do. And it isn't easy at first, but it becomes more and more natural with time and practice every day. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment? Dear friend, I do not know who might be here this morning with a problem. I do not know who might be here this morning whose heart is breaking, whose life is shattered beyond belief. And beneath that calm, cool exterior, your heart is breaking apart. I do not know. But friend, listen. God knows. God knows. God knows your problem. God loves you. God cares for you. And He wants to help you through it. Why not turn your problem over to Him this morning? Why not lay that burden at the feet of Jesus and leave it there? Why not choose to start walking with Him instead of on your own this morning? In a moment, we're going to bow our heads, or continue to bow our heads, and we're going to pray a prayer. And then we're going to sing a hymn of appeal and invite you to come and receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior if you're not saved. Or if you are saved, maybe to come and unite with our church. We would love to have you. Or to have the pastor pray with you about a problem that you have. Or to pray with you about a person that you know that needs Jesus. Or a problem that you know someone needs God to intervene in their life. Whatever God would have you do as we pray and as we sing, won't you do it? Won't you come? A family, you. A couple, you. Or just one somebody, you. Won't you come? While we pray and while we sing, you come.